but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
John Wilner is our favorite guest on college football. He joins us every week to talk about college football, and there's a lot to talk about with Lane Kiffin and the CFP rankings coming out later today. Wilner is joining us. Wilner, coming up here at 4 o'clock, the rankings will be out. We'll be talking about it in the 4 o'clock hour, but you tell me, where is your mind right now as you're waiting to see what this committee is going
to
do?
To me, the biggest question is, where is Miami relative to Notre Dame? And do they gain any more ground? Do the Hurricanes gain any more ground? You know, it is a, obviously, everybody's been talking about this for weeks, the fact that Notre Dame is ranked higher than Miami, but they have the same record, and Miami won the head-to-head. But it is an important issue for the long-term health of the game, right? I mean, if the committee says that, you know, effectively the head-to-head result doesn't mean much, why would Miami schedule Notre Dame in the future, right? Why would Texas schedule Ohio State in the future? So there's some bigger picture issues that are in play depending on what the committee does. And also, you know, if the committee ends up squeezing the SEC, how's the SEC going to react to that, right? They're not going to be happy, and they kind of control the chessboard with the Big Ten. So, you know, it's not just how the rankings look this afternoon and then on Sunday with the final version. It's how do those rankings affect the strategic decisions that are going to be made by schools in future scheduling?
Yeah, because you got Steve Sarkisian at Texas saying, hey, wait a minute, we didn't need to play Ohio State. Right. Even though they lost the game. They were a three-loss team. A lot of pandering going on.
A lot.
On,
I mean, it's,
behalf
that's
of
what it is.
Texas. Where do they belong in the rankings in your mind?
Well, yeah, Sark's point is if we hadn't played Ohio State, we would be 10-2, and there wouldn't be any question that we're going to get in, because we beat Texas A&M, and we beat Vanderbilt, and we beat Oklahoma. All those teams have double-digit wins. And he might be right. I don't know. I look at it and think, well, Texas also has a blowout loss at Georgia and a bad loss to Florida, which is under 500. So it's not just about losing to Ohio State. But I get what he's saying. And if I were him, I'd be saying the same thing. I mean, that's what this couple weeks here is all about, politicking. And you're gonna see it. We saw Brett Yormark, the Big 12 commissioner, doing it during the Arizona State game. He was in Tempe, and he got some mic time and some air time, and he was talking about BYU's resume, you know, relative to Notre Dame. And that's, you got to do it to support your constituents. But we'll see how the committee responds. There's a lot riding on this.
Yeah, I felt like the NCAA tournament committee acted very self-conscious, the selection committee. You could feel them going out of their way to be very fair to some of the blue bloods in the Power Four conferences. Do you think the committee members are thinking in those terms? Because could the SEC take their ball and go home if they don't get it doesn't break their way?
I don't know that they can. I don't know if they take their ball and go home, but they would certainly take their ball and insist on more rule changes to help them. The difference, the basketball version's got it right. There's only one release of the seeds before Selection Sunday, and that comes in, you know, what, right around middle of February. So 1 month out, the committee says, here's our top 16 for right now. The problem college football has is that they are bound through this ESPN contract to have these weekly ranking shows that box the committee in, that illuminate the hypocrisy in the process, and it's a no-win situation. And it undermines the public trust in what the committee's doing. But the only way to get rid of those weekly ranking shows is to say to ESPN, you know what, we'll take less money in the contract and let's get rid of the shows. And of course, that's not going to happen. So they're stuck.
Lane Kiffin made a lot of noise and a lot of turbulence. You and I talked about this on the podcast, Canzano and Wilner, the podcast, if you want to check it out on YouTube. But what do you make of Lane Kiffin's act?
He is on brand, isn't he? I mean, he is on brand. This is exactly how it would have been scripted. The details, we wouldn't have known the details, but we would have known for sure it was going to be a bad breakup with Ole Miss. The fact that he's leaving a playoff team before the playoffs and wanted to keep coaching that team so that he could recruit the players to the rival is just very Lane Kiffin. And the other piece of this is, you go, you watch ESPN and Game Day and all their studio shows, and they got all those guys protecting Lane and turning Lane into the victim here. Of course, he's not the victim. If you don't want, if you want to coach Ole Miss, then you stay, you remain Ole Miss's head coach. You don't take the job. But Nick Saban and Herb Street, and all that, they're also compromised because they want access. I mean, Jimmy Sexton is pulling the strings. He's the wizard behind the booth. He's Kiffin's agent. He's Saban's agent. He's DeBoer's. He represents Sarkisian.
By the way, CAA represents the talking heads on ESPN.
Yes,
a lot of them.
Absolutely.
So the same agents who rep the coaches are repping the on-air talent.
Yes.
How big a problem is that conflict of interest in your mind?
I mean, in my opinion, it's a big problem because it's not well known to the public, and ESPN is instrumental in driving the narrative and also funding the sport. And yet they're completely compromised. And so they get on, Saban's getting on there saying, oh, it's not Lane's fault. The problem's the calendar. This and that. Yes, the problem is the calendar, but this is also Lane's fault. I mean, can you imagine in the workplace, you say, you know, you're working at, you know, you're working at Starbucks and you say, I'm going to go to Dutch Brothers, right? Dutch Bros.
They're not letting you go. They're not letting you take company secrets. I want to stay 2 weeks and write down all the recipes while I'm here. No,
right.
It's not going to work.
No. So that's also part of the problem with Lane that has been illuminated by ESPN and their talking and their compromised talking heads.
And Kirk Herbstreit's saying, let him coach. Oh, are you kidding me? Let him finish? Are you kidding me? Like, it made me go, come on. We all know that there's an incestuous relationship with the agents of the coaches and the talking heads, and it's on display right there. I think it's a problem. I think they are all compromised. In the end, I think it's sad for the Mississippi fan, isn't it?
It is sad, although, you know, it's better than having Kiffin stay and coach your team, I think. It's like, you know, it's like the Bo Schembechler line when Frieder left for Arizona State. I want a Michigan man coaching Michigan. If you're an Ole Miss fan, you want an Ole Miss coach coaching the Rebels, right? And we'll see the impact it has. Now, there's been some talk that it might affect Ole Miss's situation with the playoff, because all of a sudden now the committee is evaluating a team that doesn't have its head coach and its offensive coordinator, just like Florida State didn't have their quarterback and they got left out right now.
Should that be the way that I think
it's apples and oranges, in my opinion, because the committee saw what Florida State looked like after Jordan Travis got hurt and they weren't very good, whereas they're not going to see what Ole Miss looks like without Kiffin. I think that they have to keep Ole Miss in at a relatively high seed, probably hosting a first-round game. But it'll be real interesting to see how they respond. And I think it's possible they're going to play hard as hell and try to prove that they didn't need Kiffin.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to play them.
No.
There's too much volatility there in what they could be on the field. We saw, you know, look at the way Cal played against SMU with Rolo coaching.
Yeah. Like,
it's such an emotional sport. Is so emotional and rooted in emotion.
Yeah.
You know, look, what do you think of Oregon's performance against Washington? I know, you know, it was on Saturday. Here we are on Tuesday. But Oregon's performance on Saturday, what'd you think?
Well, that rivalry lasts the entire year, though, John. So we can talk about that game in March, and we'd be fine. I would give the Ducks, I don't know, B plus, A minus. I mean, they're playing without their top receivers, right? So that's a big part of the calculation. They were better. I didn't sense in the fourth quarter that even part of the third that Washington really had a chance to win the game. I don't recall that Washington ever had the ball down one possession late in the in the fourth quarter. The Ducks are better, and their multiple recruiting cycles better than Washington is. And I don't know that that's going to change anytime soon. I really don't.
I think, Oregon has been kind of letting it brew, waiting for the right time to pour it on. And I'm curious to see if they can play their best football in the playoff. It looks like they'll get a tune-up game, at home in the opening round of the playoff. Is that best case scenario for Oregon in your mind, that they're the 5 seed?
Well, I was the guy leading the charge for them to lose the Big Ten championship game last year so they could avoid Ohio State.
People said you were crazy. And look at you now.
They said I was crazy. I think they are absolutely in the sweetest spot. If I had been, advising Dan Lanning ahead of time, I'd say, Dan, do whatever it takes to get a home playoff game, even if it means not winning the Big Ten championship, right? And I think, depending on how things fall, they could get the 5, which is the best spot of all, because you're opening at home against the group of 5, probably North Texas or Tulane. If you advance, you're playing probably Texas Tech in the quarterfinals. It is a great spot for the Ducks. They need – their big concern this weekend, frankly, is Texas Tech and Georgia losing and somehow Oregon elevating into a top 4 seed and not getting the home playoff game. If you're the Ducks, you are rooting like hell for Georgia and for Texas Tech. You want the status quo so that you can get a 5 seed, if at worst case, a 6.
Do you think – I'm looking at the teams that could win this thing, and I look at Georgia, I look at Ohio State, I look at Indiana, and I say outside of those 3, I would probably pick Oregon to beat everybody else in the field. Am I a homer for saying that?
Can you win – winning the whole thing means, are you good enough and deep enough to win at least 3 games, if not 4, right? I would say there's at least 6 or 8 that could win 1, maybe 10. How many could win 3 or 4? Ohio State, Oregon, Indiana, certainly Georgia, I think, can. Notre Dame, I think Notre Dame can. I think Notre Dame's really good. Not sure about Alabama. Don't think Oklahoma's good enough on offense. Don't think Texas Tech is good enough on offense to win 3. Who am I missing? That's probably it. If the Ducks are healthy, the Ducks can win 3 games for sure. 4, maybe even 4.
Yeah, I kind of think their point of resistance, if the bracket breaks their way, becomes in the semifinal round. I think they can get to the semifinal round, but then they're going to run into an Ohio State. They're going to run into Georgia. They're going to run into Indiana. And unless they pulled a punch against Indiana, maybe they took your advice. Maybe they just played it vanilla. Maybe they said, hey, we're okay losing this one. I don't know. I don't know what the mentality was on that game. I don't want to say they threw the game, but
no, they didn't. No,
Indiana looked just decidedly better than Oregon that day.
They did, but I think that could fit in within the broader framework of how Lanning tried to manage the season and do everything possible to be peaking in December and not peaking in October. Yeah.
Which
and
they did last year.
Exactly. Yeah. And within that, was not their best performance against Indiana, right? The Indiana game was almost a year to the date of the Ohio State game. And you think about the 2 different outcomes and the way the Ducks looked incredible against Ohio State and looked so pedestrian against Indiana. I don't know. It falls within the bigger, potentially with the bigger Dan Lanning plan.
And that's a question, too, that I have for Kurt Cignetti in Indiana, because I was in the press box that day at Autzen Stadium, and I looked down at the field, and Indiana's players stayed on the field long after that game was done. Oregon had gone to the locker room. The band went to the middle of the field. Indiana fans went onto the Autzen Stadium field, and everybody was at midfield. It reminded me of the catharsis that Oregon was having a year earlier. They were running around Autzen like they'd won the Super Bowl after they beat Ohio State.
Yep.
And I wonder about Indiana. Like, will Indiana be that team that kind of ends up on fumes in December? You know, watch them. Watch them in the Big Ten championship game.
Let me ask you one.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, if I gave you the choice for the playoff, Ohio State or the field, who are you taking?
I'm gonna take the field.
Oh, okay.
Because I think, like I said, I think Georgia, Indiana, maybe even Notre Dame could win the thing.
Okay.
And I think Ohio State is in that group. They're one of the three or four teams that I think could win it all. But what about you? You take Ohio State?
I think I would take Ohio State. Ohio State has three players that are locks for the first round of the draft and a quarterback who could win the Heisman, and none of them are their best player. You know? So their defense is better than it was last year, and their quarterback is more talented. So I don't know. One game, any of those teams you mentioned could beat them for sure. But I would think long and hard about taking Ohio State.
John Wilner, you are the best. I'm eager to see the rankings come out here, 4 o'clock and beyond. We'll be talking about it in the 4 o'clock hour. Thank you for joining us. Appreciate you, man.
My pleasure, my friend.
All right, leave it here. Our big splash is coming up. You got the BFT statewide.